This edition of the JMRA podcast is brought to you by the number one. That's the number of playoff wins Carson Palmer has. He decided to shoot his mouth off about Tom Brady. Tisk, tisk, tisk. All right, let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, here to talk with you about the National Football League as we dive headfirst into week one of the 2016 NFL season, releasing this podcast on the Thursday of game one of the 2016 season, which, to be honest with you, is basically more or less week five of the preseason. Reading so many things about guys, this guy's going to play 15 snaps in week one, this guy's going to play 30 snaps in week one. I get it, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. But see, that's the trick. It kind of is a sprint because there are only 16 games. So very interesting to see how teams come out in week one. It will all start with the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos reconvening for one of the worst Super Bowls of all time. Super Bowl 50, in fact, I did a lot of podcasts last season, and I didn't do a post-Super Bowl 50 podcast because it was a snooze fest. It was an awful, awful, awful game. It was just the Panthers kind of trying to figure out how to move the ball against the Broncos. The Broncos didn't move the ball. They hardly moved the ball against the Panthers' defense. And then Carolina, when they eventually moved, couldn't get out of their own way. Turnovers, bad plays by Cam Newton, all kinds of stuff kept undermining the Carolina Panthers' efforts to win Super Bowl 50. Alas, here we are again on Thursday night with the rematch to start up the regular season. We'll get to NFL predictions and much more. A couple of quick story notes as it relates to the league that we'll get to in a second. But first, a social media rundown. You can check us out on Twitter at Joe M's right arm. We will certainly be hot and heavy this weekend for NFL action week one as it happens. Then you can also check us out on the blog at joemontanasrightarm.com. We're doing a live blog on Thursday night of Panthers Broncos. That should be a hoot. I am contemplating whether to do a live blog on Sunday Night Football. It's just doing the Sunday Night Football live blog and then doing a podcast afterwards. It's a little bit much, especially when the Patriots are playing. So I have to have my undivided attention for them when that happens. But we may come back with the live blog on Sunday. We'll see how it goes. If Carson Palmer keeps talking, then we'll definitely have one. But nonetheless, either way, we'll have plenty of coverage on week one coming up on Sunday on the blog. Also, check us out on Facebook, Joe Montana's right arm. Search us out there. Vine had some problems with the shield last year in Vine. They took down some of my videos. I am back to be a pain in the rear for them again. So looking forward to what should be a fantastic 2016 NFL campaign. Okay, a couple of quick notes before we get to the news and notes around the league. First things first, gratuitous plug for the Exit 58 podcast. Be sure to check that out. You can search it on iTunes, Exit 50A podcast. Derek, Rob, and Kaz do a fantastic job on that podcast. And they got into Colin Kaepernick, which was one of my favorite discussions that I heard on that podcast so far. And that's actually where we will start on the podcast. I know there's been a lot said on multiple platforms about this whole Colin Kaepernick thing, but I'll tell it to you like this, and this is my take on it. And I don't mean this as far as any disrespect to, military people who are upset about what he said, or to NFL fans who are upset about what he said and what he did, because that's kind of hand in hand. The sock thing with the making fun of cops and putting pigs on there and stuff, that's stupid. Let's get that out of the way. That's moronic. He's an idiot for doing that. I'm not going to even remotely try to defend him for doing that. But the idea of him sitting during the anthem, a couple of things here. Number one, I don't think that does anything for anybody. It in no way helps this country to have people sitting around during the national anthem. And I'll tell you, we saw it earlier this week, I believe. Megan Rapinoe, who's a member of the United States women's national soccer team, as a way to solidarity to Colin Kaepernick. And when she did this, they showed the stadium she was playing in. And brother, that thing was, saying it was 75% empty would be nice. My point is this. Who cares? Like, it's not helping anybody. Who cares? It doesn't do anything for anybody, okay? You want to do something, go speak to some young groups, minority groups, go speak to cops, go out and do that. And Shaq said it earlier today. You know, this wasn't a concern for Colin Kaepernick when he first got in the NFL. We didn't hear about this. It's not like this stuff just started happening this year. Racial issues with the police have been an issue for a long, long time in this country. And all of a sudden, Colin Kaepernick wants to make an issue out of it now. He wants to grow afros and whatever. It's just dumb. Like, what are you doing? Just stop. Handle your business privately and move on. And my biggest thing with the Kaepernick issue is this. I just find it hilarious how angry people are getting. And I think one of the reasons why people are getting angry is because look who's delivering the message. It's Colin Kaepernick. And to me, he is not a credible source to be speaking out about anything. And I think that's what people sense. I think people say to themselves, this guy is a bad NFL quarterback. He has no right to talk. That's how it works. That's how it works. If I wake up tomorrow and start my own political podcast without any reference at all, any material for you to understand why I'm starting a podcast, people aren't going to care. They're not going to give a flying you-know-what about my opinion on politics. It just doesn't matter. So this idea that people are so angry and so upset about this Colin Kaepernick thing, I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but just consider the source. That's the thing. Just consider the source. And I think, you know, you can defer from that what you want. It just is, it's not a meaningful thing coming from him. Now, the other NFL story we'll get to. So, Carson Palmer, okay. And I don't have a big problem with Carson Palmer, but I do now. Carson Palmer did a media conference call with members of the Boston media on Wednesday to talk about the Patriots and the Cardinals game on Sunday. And somebody asked him, did he think that Tom Brady was treated fairly by the NFL? And Palmer's answer was more or less, you know, Brady broke the rules and he got caught. I'm going to read verbatim what this moron had to say, because that's what it is. This is the musings of someone who shouldn't be allowed to talk. And I get it. You know, he's got his own personal opinion he's allowed to have. And I agree with that. We're just talking about Colin Kaepernick. I'm not saying guy A or guy B doesn't have the right to express himself. He has a right to give it his opinion. However, this is where things to me go off the rails, okay? If you're going to speak out against another quarterback, you better have some sort of cachet to do so. And Carson Palmer is not that guy. I'm not interested in what Carson Palmer has to say about Tom Brady and what he's doing right or wrong. Like, who in the hell is Carson Palmer to be addressing anybody? Seriously, who the hell is this guy? I had someone on Twitter get on me because I said what I said about the Palmer thing. I went off about it. And some guy took exception to my comments calling it one of the dumbest things he's ever seen. And you know what? I stand by what he said. What I said. Carson Palmer and his one playoff win should not be addressing Tom Brady and his situation in any regard. Especially when he says, I turned off the story, I was sick of it. So you've already lost credibility with people. That to me is just a guy who just doesn't get it. Just does not get it. Is a lost, lost soul. And I want to like this guy too, because I like the Cardinals. I have a lot of respect for their organization. But I don't know what this guy's doing here. It just seems like somebody who just doesn't quite get it. He was terrible during the NFC Championship game. He struggled most of his career to get to the postseason. We all know what happened in this one playoff game with the Bengals. He tore his ACL. This guy just hasn't delivered. And he's going to come out and say something smart about Tom Brady. Like, dude, go back to the kiddies table, okay? Mark Sanchez has more of a right to speak out about this stuff than you do. Mark Sanchez at least has a playoff cachet that, regardless of whatever happens in his career, he can retire and say, you know what? I did all right. Might be crazy to think that, but he can say that. Here's what Palmer said. Quote, I try not to follow it just because it was everywhere for so long, but I go back and you follow what the rule book says and you go about your business and your work. And, you know, if they tell you not to do it and you get busted, what happens, happens. Then you suffer the consequences. You know, I'm sure you guys, the New England folks, by the way, look at it a lot differently. But I know a lot of players around the league just looking at it, you know, I don't know if you can feel too strongly one way or the other. Just shut up. Shut your mouth and play football. You know what you should have said there? Here's how you handle this. All he had to say was, it's unfortunate that Tom can't be a part of this game. The league decided what they decided. And that's it. That's all you have to say. Instead, Carson Palmer showed why, quite honestly, he's never going to win a Super Bowl. He's not. He might get to one. Maybe he'll luck out and get to one this year with Arizona. He's not of Super Bowl stock. As the kids say, he ain't about that life. Not tough enough to get it done. It's funny, on the blog, I wrote about this, and I posted a video that was done, I think, right after the NFC Championship game, and it said, was the moment too big for Carson Palmer? This is a guy who's almost 40 years old, and they're asking, is the moment too big for him? And yet, he wants to come out and open up his mouth about Tom Brady. Man, he's lucky Mr. Brady's not playing on Sunday, because he'd get his house cleaned. Ignorant. All right, it's break time on the JMRA podcast. When we come back, it'll be time to look at some predictions for the NFL season. Playoff teams, Super Bowl picks, league MVPs. We'll do a little bit of everything here on the JMRA podcast. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Exit 58 podcast.
People need to stop having vaginal intercourse with the Rolling Stones at once.
In Arizona, one of the locations listed in the app to quickly capture a large number of Pokemon is the Windsor Hotel. Now get this, the hotel turned halfway house for dozens of repeated sex offenders is on the historic list of places in Arizona, which is why the Pokemon Go app accidentally selected it as a beacon location, whatever the hell that means. So now you have all these like adults and kids apparently going to this sex offender, like, you know, basically like Comic-Con, and going there to capture like Pokemon. I don't understand this game at all.
Maybe Mick Jagger's former girlfriend was doing Pokemon Go.
And she didn't even know what was going on probably when they got.
She wasn't playing the game. She was actually just chasing the Pokemon.
Maybe that's how she got pregnant with.
I know where the Pokemon went. let's see what happens when this when I do this here. I think the Pokeball's right here.
Yeah, he definitely releases Pokeball, that's for sure.
I don't even know what that means, but it's funny.
For more of the Exit 58 podcast, head to soundcloud.com and search Exit 58 podcast. Subscribe to the Exit 58 podcast on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Exit 58 podcast.
Back on the JMRA podcast, I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm. Here with you is the lead up for the 2016 NFL season has come to just about its conclusion as we get set for Denver and Carolina in Denver tonight as the Broncos celebrate being Super Bowl champions. And should be an interesting game on Thursday night between two very defensive-oriented teams. We'll see the debuting Trevor Siemian. We'll see what he has to offer. Not looking for much of a different game from what we saw in Super Bowl 50. I think it'll be both defenses dictating to the offenses, and we'll see who comes out ahead. If you're asking me to pick, I actually like Carolina a little bit just because I think they'll be able to kind of figure some things out with the Denver defense, and Denver doesn't have Peyton Manning. Now, they didn't have Peyton Manning theoretically in the Super Bowl. He was just there in body only. He wasn't the real Peyton Manning, wasn't actually there. But, you know, I just think it's a different setup. Now, the one good thing if you're a Broncos fan is the fact that there's no tape out there on Trevor Siemian. So it might take teams a little while to kind of figure out what he's all about. Let's get into some NFL predictions before we wrap up the show. I wanted to talk about first just a couple superlative awards that will be given out. League MVP. I'm looking at this year, the league MVP being Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks. I think this very well could be his year, at least as far as winning an MVP goes. When you look at a lot of the candidates around the league, I mean, you know, can Aaron Rodgers be in the hunt? Absolutely. Can Andrew Luck kind of restore some of the luster to his career? He could do that. Maybe you look at an Antonio Brown. I don't know what kind of long-term health is going to be in store for J.J. Watt, but he's obviously a threat too. So I would say if I were a betting man, I'd put down a few shekels on Russell Wilson. As far as Defensive Player of the Year goes, I like Khalil Mack with the Raiders. Man, it showed such great promise last year in Oakland as a part of a really young and up-and-coming football team. Thought he did a great job with the Raiders. And I look at him as a possible Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And perhaps, just perhaps, a part of a much bigger year for the Raiders. As we get into the NFL prediction. So let's go through first the NFC. We're going to start in the NFC East. I'm not a huge fan of the NFC East this year, as has been the case the last couple of years. I just think it totally stinks. I look at the Giants as a team I'm going to give a slight edge to. 9-7. I have Washington at 8-8. I have Dallas at 6-10. Now with this whole situation with Carson Wentz starting over Sam, or not over Sam Bradford, but over Chase Daniel, Sam Bradford being traded to Minnesota. I had the Eagles before all this happened being 6-10. I now think they're going to be a couple games worse. I look at the Eagles at like 4-12. I don't think they're going to be very good at all. So I like the Giants to win the NFC East. In the North, I like the Packers before the Teddy Bridgewater injury. I like them after the Teddy Bridgewater injury. I guess the biggest issue out of the NFC North is going to be, is there a second team that can challenge Green Bay to win that division. It may very well beat Minnesota. I have Minnesota at 9-7. In the NFC South, Carolina repeating as NFC South champions once again. But they will see a little bit of a decline. Instead of 15-1 this year, I'm looking at around 11-5 for the Panthers. Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is one of my sleeper picks this year. I have them at 9-7 in the NFC South and in second place. Atlanta at 8-8. New Orleans bringing up the rear at 7-9. And then in the West, Seattle 13 up, just 3 down for the Seahawks. 13-3. Have Arizona at 10-6. And St. Louis, I caught a lot of flack when I told my friends about this. I have St. Louis going 9-7 this year. That's probably crazy, but I really like Todd Gurley and at least some of the pieces the Rams have out there. And then San Francisco, they'll be bad again, 6-10. So division winners in the East, the Giants, the Packers, the Panthers, and the Seahawks, with my wild card teams being the Cardinals and the Buccaneers. Let's go over to the AFC. I think that in the East, okay, I think New England will have a little bit of a struggle without Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, will be able to do a decent job, but I think a couple of things will play into factor here. I think the Patriots may very well finish 2-2, 1-3 during this stretch. And then once Brady comes back, I think it's going to take him a few games to kind of get back some of that mojo that he's lost a little bit because of this 4-game suspension. Remember, because of the suspension, he's barred from the facility, so he can't even go in there and watch film or, you know, get his ankle taped. He's out altogether. So we shall see what he has up his sleeve during this 4-week period where he is off and away from his teammates. So I have the Patriots at 11-5. They'll close in on that 12-win season again. The Jets at 9-7. The more I mention that to myself and think about it and look at it, the less I like it. Buffalo at 7-9. Miami at 7-9. In the North, had the Steelers going 11-5, winning the division, unseating the Cincinnati Bengals, who will go 9-7. Baltimore will scratch and claw its way to an 8-8 mark. Meanwhile, Cleveland will be 6-10. In the South, this is another one that I've kind of swayed on a little bit. I originally thought Indianapolis would have what it takes to get the W in the division. But looking at them this preseason, they don't look good. I mean, they don't look like they can block for Andrew Luck. That's still an issue out there. So I would be very concerned. So what I am going to do, we're going to go with Houston winning the AFC South 9-7. We'll put the Colts also at 9-7. Tennessee will be at 8-8 and Jacksonville at 6-10. So we'll go with Houston getting the nod to win the AFC South. And then in the West, this is where I have my number one seed in the AFC playoffs hovering. The Kansas City Chiefs 12-4. Denver and Oakland tying at 9-7 on the year. Now, my playoff teams, recapping the AFC. Patriots, Steelers, Texans, Chiefs win their respective divisions. The wild cards will be the Bengals and the Oakland Raiders. That's right, I have the Raiders going to the playoffs. And as far as the Super Bowl prediction goes, coming out of the NFC, I think it'll be the Seattle Seahawks again. I just don't see enough out of Green Bay to sway me. And if they have to go to Seattle again, you know that's going to be a problem. They just don't play well out there. Carolina, I expect them to be solid again, but I think they will have some issues. Some of that post-Super Bowl loss residue will be on them, and you wonder if they'll be able to kind of get everybody's head in check to start this season and be able to be a successful team throughout. But I like Seattle to win the NFC. And then out in the AFC, man, I really want to pick somebody else other than who I'm going to pick. I want to go with Pittsburgh, but something always seems to happen with Pittsburgh, whether it be injuries, suspensions, something just keeps getting in the way. So alas, that opens the door once again for the New England Patriots. So I'd like a Super Bowl 49 rematch, Seattle versus New England, and it'll be the Patriots getting the ring in Houston to win Super Bowl 51. That'll do it for the JMRA podcast. Again, a reminder, you can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. That thing will be popping over the next few days and, of course, throughout the entire NFL season. We're on Twitter, too, by simply searching Joe Montana's Right Arm, or you could just go and search Joe M's Right Arm. On Facebook, same thing, Joe Montana's Right Arm. Check us out on there as well. All kinds of good stuff we're looking forward to for the upcoming NFL year. That will do it for yours truly. Enjoy Panthers Broncos, and until next time, happy football, everybody.